right, 806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Sean and Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. Text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. Super Bomb and I have been talking about local grocery stores, as I remind folks to, as we talk about these, what's going on here, to shop locally when you can, because according to the online opinion poll question, which I love y'all's optimism here, most folks saying that things start getting back to normal. Now, I left it open-ended for what is normal. Get back to normal starting in May. You want to make sure your businesses are up and running, have the people ready to serve you when the economy gets back on online full speed, whether that's May or June or July or August or this fall. We need to keep those people busy and employed. And you know what? Respect to the cashiers out there. We talk about the folks that are frontline in this, and physicians and nurses, all the medical people that clean at the medical facilities, every work at the medical facilities, obviously frontline. Public safety, we've talked about that. They still have to interact with people, make arrests, do those things. They're still, contacting people every day, and they are frontline, but so are the cashiers. Let's not forget about the cashiers or the people that are working in services. I mean, whether they're mechanics, or there are people that are at the plants going up the road, the same people that I'm in traffic with on airport going eastbound to get to the interstate on a given morning. Those folks, there's lots of frontline people out there, and let's make sure we keep them in our thoughts.
Yeah, I think about that often with the cashiers. Anytime now that I go into a store to get groceries or go to the pharmacy, I mean, they're handling people's money and sometimes cards all day long. Remember early in this when it was pretty much just China that was being hit by the virus, how they were talking about they were cleaning their money in China to try to get some of the germs off of it, some of the virus off of some of the money. Obviously, we haven't done that here in the United States, or can't do that. Although I heard they're printing
a lot. How could you even possibly start doing that?
I don't know. And but those cashiers out there are handling that money every day. I did hear they're printing a lot of new money, though. Isn't that right?
Well, and unfortunately, yes. We're printing all kind of new money in this country, new fresh money into the system. Let's talk about that and a whole lot more with our buddy Jeff Poor. Read his work in Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, of course, the host of the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. But he's checking in from his quarantined home studio. And Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for joining us. So yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, we've got fresh money coming into the system here. I mean, now, you know, we had $2 trillion, and, you know, we've been talking about maybe we're looking as much at $5 trillion, but I know yesterday the small business side of it, which I'm paying attention to, the president talking about, all right, well, $350 doesn't work, maybe another $250 billion in this. When do you ever say no? You see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that critically, but do you keep saying yes until the economy comes back online? Where do you put limits on this? What would you think?
I would have to think so, because this is going to have repercussions later on down the road. But commodity prices are, you know, the price of oil. Now there's some political actors there, obviously, geopolitical things going on there, but there's going to be repercussions for this, I think, later on down the road in terms of inflation and what does that look like. And we haven't had that discussion yet, have we? We haven't talked about what the debts or the deficits, what that does to the economy, more importantly, the value of the dollar. And I kind of think that gets lost on a lot of us, because, it's something we really haven't talked about. It's ever since Ron Paul fled the scene, that hasn't been on the front burner.
But it's a tough one. I mean, let's just talk about, real world stuff. As there's people dying, there's people getting, new cases of coronavirus. There's small businesses that are, and big businesses. We just talked about Logan's Roadhouse firing everybody out there. You got companies dumping employees out there, through no fault of their own. And so if you turn around and go, well, how are we going to pay for this long term? There's going to be a lot of people that look at you like, you just said a curse word at church. You know what I'm saying? They're not, even though they may agree with you in a couple months, right now they're like, man, don't talk about that.
It's some ways it's creative destruction. Maybe we needed to start looking at ways of getting away from a service-based economy, or so reliant on certain sectors of the economy, just like we're so reliant on China. And look at different ways to prosper. I don't know. I mean, maybe something good could come of this, but to think that people are going to this is, you get the all clear green light in a month or two. Do you still think people are going to go out to restaurants and risk it? I mean, those are the things you got to think about. What does the new normal, what does it look like? Are we just all going to be shut-in recluses working from home? I don't really have a good answer for that, but I do think it's going to change significantly.
Yeah, I think there's pent-up. That's why I think the economy can get back online. I mean, there's pent-up American consumer desire to go to restaurants, to buy items, to see other people, even though the online thing, obviously, is going to be big and is making small businesses and local businesses increase their online presence, which I think is long-term a good thing. But people want to go see other folks, man. You know, other than a few cranks like me out there, people want to go see other folks.
I agree with that. But what percentage of the public is that? Whereas it used to be everybody was kind of okay with it. Is it... Have we decided... Is there going to be a number of people be like, you know what, I'm good. You know, I'm not gonna risk playing with my life. I don't know how much of a chilling effect this has had on society, but I suspect there's going to be a certain component out there that's going to be more apprehensive about this, and that's going to have an impact.
Yeah, and does that? How long does that last? How short are the memories? You know, because people have been comparing this crisis with like 9/11, and sadly, in 9/11 it was the inverse. The 9/12 movement and the galvanizing the togetherness of all Americans after 9/11, it lasted a while, but it did fade.
Yeah, it did fade. But that's what things always do, right?
That's what I wonder if this will be the same.
But I would say the difference between 9/11 and it was kind of a weird time in American politics, which that may be the new normal in politics. The George W. Bush had just won an election by the skin of his teeth against Al Gore, so you had this real, you had these bitter feelings over politics. Then you had the kind of unification moment right after 9/11. But I feel like those wounds, that whole episode, we never really fully got past it, and it wasn't that much longer until we're after the 2004 election, I'd say things kind of got really hyper partisan, and they've ever since, that's been the trend line. It's been more and more partisan ever since.
Obviously, Jeff, 9/11 and the coronavirus pandemic, completely different sorts of catastrophes, but after 9/11, the unification of America and turning a lot of that anger, most of the anger, over towards Osama bin Laden and the Taliban, and then we all know what happened after that, it seems like a lot of people are turning their attention more in an angry way towards China for the cover-up that it appears they had, and for not jumping on this virus a little bit earlier. And also, you know, we've had this trade war going on with them. How much of our stuff we get from China? Do you see more people kind of getting on the, I guess I'll call it, the angry at China train?
Yeah, I think you got, in politics, they've got to. Democrats are fooling themselves by playing the multicultural card right now with regards to China. You still be multicultural and be angry at China, but there's going to be people that are wanting to get back at China. You know, you lose your livelihood, you take the hit in the pocketbook, and people are stupid. They're going to figure out where this thing came from, how it originated. There's already conspiracy theories out there. It'd be foolhardy for anybody to dismiss that. How far does that go? You know, that remains to be seen. Does it lead us to a military confrontation? I would hope not, or something like that. But I think if you're asking me today, it looks like maybe perhaps a sort of a Cold War, or a miniature Cold War with China for the time, for the foreseeable future.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poor. I want to talk some state news surrounding coronavirus as well. And we do that when we get back right here on Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Continue our conversation with Jeff Poor, who's checking in from his quarantined home studio, the richly appointed home studio. Things sound good there. And hey, there's a lot of folks in media are doing that, working remotely out there. But like I've been saying for a month and a half, there's a lot of folks who unless they go to work, they don't get a paycheck, right? And that's one of the big issues here. Also, when people don't go to local businesses or whatever business in an area, the sales tax is not accruing and going to Montgomery. And Jeff, that's obviously a big, big worry for the state of Alabama. So much of our revenue is dependent on the sales tax. I mean, income tax is also going to suffer, but sales tax, that's going to be very big.
It's very big. Kelly Butler, state finance director, was on Alabama Public Television Friday night. He doesn't think, though, that he thinks the state can make it through this fiscal year, which is September to October, without proration. Now, that means next year's going to be different, right? The budget's going to be very bare bones. That's whenever, I guess the thinking is, get through this fiscal year, and Ivy will call a special session for the budgets where they have a better idea of what tax revenues are going to look like. Now, one thing about some of these tax revenues right now, there's a lot of this panic buying. There's a lot of things going on that maybe mitigate some of that. But it's going to, they're expecting over time to see a drop. So the things that are going to, obviously things like pay raises and things of that nature are not going to happen for teachers or anything like that. But the school kids in Montgomery are certainly aware of this situation. It's just, what is that dollar amount? And they're going to, I think the idea is, well, let's wait and see, and then we could come back and we could pass a late-stage budget, just get through this fiscal year, get some kind of bare-bones thing going, and then we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
What about another revenue stream? What about lottery? What about a compact with the Porch Bandit Creek Indians?
There was initially some talk about that. I think it depends on what kind of holes the legislature has to fill, right? I think they got to look and see really how much do they need, because how much they need to give away then becomes the question. And do they need to give away exclusivity? Do they need the state, that is? Or do they need, you know, would a lottery do anything to help with the education trust fund? Those are the questions you got to ask. It's certainly an option out there. There was a lot of talk about it initially, but I think it's since died off. Here's the thing to think about. Legislature is not going to be around much, right? I mean, essentially this year is done. It's moot. Then what the governor suddenly has, I think, a lot of, she has a power vacuum to fill. The Ivy administration could do a lot of big things, and that would include a compact with the Porch Creek Indians, right? There's, you know, and if anybody says, well, why are you doing this without the consent or some kind of a green light, yeah, from the Alabama legislature? Well, she said, well, they're not in town. They've been gone. I mean, that's kind of, that seems to be kind of the place we're headed right now.
I mean, wouldn't it have to have, I mean, the executive branch could work things out, but wouldn't there have to be a vote by the legislature? This couldn't be done entirely by the executive branch.
The compact with the Porch Creek Indians could be done.
It could.
But then,
well,
then you'd
shocking.
Have, you'd have some other things that the legislature would have to, obviously, what the Porch Creeks want. They want Alabama to have a lottery. And that changes the Alabama Constitution, because people would go and vote and say, okay, we're changing the Constitution to say that these games of chance are legal in Alabama. Right now, we just have games of skill, and you want to make games of chance legal. And what the Porch Creek Indians want, they want some kind of one of their, like, Wind Creek-type resort facilities in Birmingham. And what they would also like is another one in northeastern Alabama, Jackson County, up near the Tennessee state line, and draw from Atlanta, draw from Chattanooga, draw from Nashville. And that, I mean, I think that's their goal there. But those would not be on tribal land. They would be on regular land, and the state could tax them. And depending on their success, the state would get a cut of that. And that would maybe be an additional source of revenue. But you've got to do all these things to get it in place, and then the governor comes in, and she could make the deal. So I guess it would be a matter of laying the groundwork. But even without the legislature lay the groundwork, she could still make a deal.
Let's talk about the executive branch making deals, and this on the prison front. The executive branch entering into a build and lease deal with private manufacturer or builder of prisons, right?
Right. So this is perhaps as much as $900 million and three facilities scattered around the state. Not really clear where that might be. But since the Alabama legislature is not going to get its act together and get anything done on prisons, and they kind of let the clock run out. Obviously, pandemics can't be predicted, but remember you and I in Montgomery last year, Sean, sitting there with Del Marsh, the president pro tem of the Senate. He says, I think we're going to do a special session in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it never came.
Yep.
And then it got punted too. Well, maybe the beginning of next year. It got punted. It never came. No, we're going to look at the beginning of general session. Not a peep about it throughout the whole general session thus
Seems
far.
Crazy.
And now that the U.S. attorney's saying, hey, guys, Eighth Amendment violation's still going on, pandemic or no pandemic. In fact, it's even worse given there's a pandemic. The state could wake up with some kind of lawsuit at its front door if it were here very soon. I think that was the warning from Jay Towne yesterday. He said in a letter, or not a letter, but in comments to AL.com. But the governor all of a sudden, I think, is like, well, maybe I need to get a ball rolling on this. And she can go at it and go ahead and green light a project where they would just rent them from year to year to year, right? And it would be private company come in, build the prisons, and it would be sitting on private company land, and then we would just sign a year-to-year lease with this company.
Right, so it wouldn't be a private prison. I think people gotten confused there. It'd be a privately built prison, but it'd be ADOC staffing it.
Yeah, essentially, that's right. It would just look like an Alabama Department of Corrections prison, but it wouldn't be technically owned by the state, the structure, the bricks and mortar, nor the land. And that, for some reason, it doesn't seem to be getting that much pushback from the legislature. Here's the problem: the legislature doesn't want to deal with this, obviously. But with the governor doing it this way, it becomes that much more cost prohibitive. And the Alabama legislature could make this a lot cheaper on the taxpayers, but the politics of it, not really popular. A lot of conservatives, not really big on spending money on prisons. I don't know why you can't make the case, but for whatever reason, that's what they will tell you. And they want the path of least resistance, which appears to be just let Ivy go at it.
Hey, you put something on Twitter speaking of all this about AL.com. It was a tweet from Alabama Department of Corrections said, through unethical means, AL.com obtained and reported on a confidential copy of our continuity of operations plan. What's going on here?
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of questions about how the prisons, the ADOC, was going to handle the pandemic with, you can't social distance in a prison, right?
Right.
And you think about all the other things you got to do, family visitations, so they don't want people bringing in the virus. What about, and here's the big, big issue, Sean, these county jails, they're not letting the inmates transfer to these state prisons because they don't want to spread it. So somebody said, well, what is the ADOC plan? Where is it in writing? And somehow obtained that. And that, for whatever silly reason, ADOC comes out and makes that tweet yesterday. I don't think they look terribly good in this situation, a crisis situation. And just throws it all out there.
There it is. We'll talk more about this going forward. There's so many unanswered questions and probably will be when it comes to state government. But your feeling is that what you're hearing from the state is they're going to make it through this fiscal year without proration.
That's what Kelly Butler said, the finance director. And then you're going to get a budget, and I think that's where you're going to see the pain and the suffering.
All right. Jeff, as always, we appreciate your time. Remind folks, if they want to read what you're writing, listen to you, where do they go?
/Jeff_Poor.
All right, very good, Jeff. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, John.
8:30, coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings and your calls and texts at 343-0106. See the story that Mobile County Public School System notifying seniors with enough credits that y'all graduate. Get gone. We'll give you more details coming up.
836 here on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you. And let's talk about the website, McConnellAutomotive.com, one of the best websites if you're looking to buy a new or pre-owned vehicle. Tell folks what they can expect.
That's right. They can check everything out on our website. I think we got one more Mardi Gras truck left. Y'all need to come check that thing out. It's got to go bye-bye. And we got those 0% going on for 84 months. Don't forget, we'll buy your car. Just call Gene or I at 251-476-4141. Give us a VIN number, description a little bit, and the miles, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone. We really need some cars, and with all this stuff going on, the auctions are closed, so we're trying to hammer that home. So, like I said, if anything in your yard you got to get rid of, it just give us a buzz.
And you can do most, if not all, of the buying process online, right?
That's correct. You can just do just about everything. Baker's working on DocuSign right now, so you don't really, I'm trying to, hopefully today you won't even have to come by here.
Amazing.
We'll just bring the car to you.
Sounds good to me. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, that DocuSign is cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know there's probably several companies do the same thing. I remember we closed on our house. We did the DocuSign. So all those things, I could do it while I was here at work and turn it around. But then working on our PPP stuff for the small business loan, I still had to physically sign stuff.
Really?
And then scan it and attach it and send it and all that kind of stuff.
So for the DocuSign, you actually sign on the computer. You don't print it out, sign it, and then scan it again? Or?
Well, okay, so, and if I'm using the wrong term, if DocuSign, or maybe we use another company, but you like go through a process where you say, you know, that yes, this is me, bop, 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 whatever. It gives you like you're now an authorized signer. You'll get a document, and you can go through there, and when you click it, it puts your initials on because you have pages and pages of stuff,
right,
to initial and all that stuff, and you can turn it around like that. And especially if there's stuff going back and forth and back and forth, like it just keeps you from having to take it, scan it, you know, redo it, send it, you mm-hmm. know, and do it like that.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, if it's, now of course, yes, do I think it could be abused? Sure, anything could be abused. There's bad people out there that abuse everything, but for the short period of time we used it, I thought it was swell. I thought it was real good. All right, to the phones at 343-0106, and Chris is in Mobile up first. Hey, Chris.
Hey, I'm just wondering, I've been, you know, watching Fox News, and they're talking about, these doctors are talking about how well this hydroxychloroquine is working, and it says you have to give it to people early when they first start getting, I guess, sick or whatever. But I'm hearing them, other people saying, well, if you get sick, stay at home and then whatever. Do you know if Mobile or the doctors in Mobile are prescribing this stuff to people early or what? I mean, I know it's up to the doctor, but what's the consensus in Mobile as far as USA Hospital? Are they giving this medication to people, or does anybody know?
I'm not somebody, Chris, I don't know. I know this, and not from a news story or something, from my personal life, I know that there has been or was some, or maybe currently is, availability of the combination of the Z-Pak and the hydrochloroquine out there. But I don't know who's prescribing it. Maybe we'll get somebody, a physician to call us, or somebody in the medical field can let us know, because, Chris, I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah, that's why I was fine, because they're saying if you catch it early, that if it works, of course, I don't know that it's working for everybody. I'm just saying, based on what the reports are, is that this is cutting this stuff down to like 3 or 4 days. And it's, some people are clearing up in 2 or 3 days. I've heard great stories.
I'm
just trying to gather information. But I was just wondering if the consensus in Alabama or Mobile is they have the medication, are they prescribing it early to people when they first get symptoms, or are they letting stay home for 2 weeks to see if they get over it and give them medicine?
No, those are solid questions. No, those are good questions, and I'm going to put that's on my notes here to try to find somebody who knows more than me about this to get those answered. Chris, good question.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. I here's the part of it I do know. It is ridiculous, not surprising, because I'm used to the environment we live in, but it's ridiculous that a drug has become politicized.
Yep.
I'm not surprised, y'all. I'm just, but it's, it makes me shake my head.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, the people will support hydrochloroquine or oppose hydrochloroquine depending on their beliefs about President Trump. That's the dumbest thing.
Right.
That is so small-minded. I want to hear what, and there's some scientists and doctors, we've heard stories say it's, you know, these trials have been done, but they're small trials. Others say it needs more testing. I want to hear, like Chris is asking, a consensus from physicians out there. But the other part of it is it's turned completely political. Like whether this, the drug doesn't care what letter you have behind your name.
It
doesn't care. Coronavirus doesn't care. Let's talk science.
Yeah, if I've learned one thing over these last couple of months is that America has a lot more smarter. A lot more smart people than I ever could have thought, because all of a sudden we had, I mean, pandemic experts. Everyone became an expert. And
on
viruses.
Facebook, yes.
We've all of a sudden got so many medical doctors. We've got so many people out there that know everything. All of a sudden, they weren't talking about any of this stuff 3 months ago, and all of a sudden, everyone's an expert on everything. Instead of, you know, getting the information from the doctor that could be treating you, who would probably know more about, you know, anything than you could possibly know about medicine unless you spent time studying it. And another thing I found on Twitter, and I hate it, but I'm in Twitter all day, every day, just trying to see the latest news, and I get all kinds of great information from social media. That's why I'm on it all the time. But I have noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, Sean, but you'll see somebody retweet or share something on Facebook, a status from someone. They usually don't have their actual image in the picture, and they some weird name like, you know, Potato Baker or something.
Right.
And this person will put something out there like, just had to intubate a healthy 24-year-old. He said he wanted to live to see his 3-month-old grow up. And you know, yeah, initially, that's heartbreaking hearing something like that.
And then you start digging.
I went to this. I saw this specifically yesterday. Someone who said that they're a nurse and they had to intubate a 24-year-old healthy male who wanted to live to see his child grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Saddest thing. We're doing this on the front lines every day. Yes, healthcare workers are out there. They're putting themselves in the line of fire. They're seeing stuff that I would never, ever want to see. But there are a lot of fake actors on social media trying to get internet clout, because I went to this person's Twitter account.
Yeah.
And 3 days ago, they're it's obvious that they're not a nurse, because they've been on social media 24/7 for the last, you know, 3 months. no time to actually work. And none of the stuff until about 3 or 4 days ago was about any of this on this specific person's profile.
Yeah,
I'm seeing it all over online. So
do your due diligence.
Don't take any of these stories at face value, because there's a lot of people that are just trying to, you know, either gain clout or scare you into being more scared than you actually should be. You should still take precautions. I think we're all doing the right thing right now, but be careful out there on social media, because a lot of it is fake.
Well said. I've had fun in particular with one of the trolls on the Twitter feed that attacks the FM Talk 106.5 Twitter feed, who's made the mistake of his handle. He claims to be a farmer out of Lee County. And so,
yes.
Y'all, for ag folks out there, so I just, he said he was a farmer, so I asked, what do we all ask at ag? Well, what do you farm?
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him, and it took him about a day and a half to come up with some stuff, and then he started talking about soybeans. I said, well, you should be getting them in, right? What schedule soybeans do you plant? And stuff, it just goes quiet. And so in the medical field, I have no idea. This guy made the mistake presenting himself, and it's a fake profile that's coming in to stir up things. So, yeah, make sure, like Dalton says, you do a little research. There may be stories like that are true.
There are plenty of heartbreaking stories out there.
But some are bull, you know, so you need to go through. And speaking of healthcare workers, okay, go ahead, because
I just wanted to add one last thing. I learned a new term this morning reading around on the internet. We've all heard of the placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, and I don't know if this is an actual term, I saw someone called the nocebo effect. And, you know, a lot of us maybe think we have some of the symptoms for coronavirus, for COVID-19, and you need to take it seriously if you're having trouble breathing, if you're, you know, you got the dry cough and the fever, then yeah, you probably need to get checked out. But I know a lot of people maybe think they have more symptoms than they actually do. But also,
Well, if it's all you hear about 24/7.
It's all we're hearing about, and there's so much, it's just so manic right now that someone who might actually test positive for coronavirus might actually think that it's going to be way worse for them personally than it actually will be, and they could actually make themselves sicker by thinking that they're on death's doorstep. Now, there are, I mean, we're seeing the death numbers rise, of course.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to be said for your mind and how you can handle things mentally. So just, I think sometimes people need to, you know, step away from the computer a little bit, and I'm talking to myself here too, and just remember that our bodies are amazing. They can fight a lot of this stuff off.
That's for sure. And remember too, to, you know, if you do fall in line with what is actually a symptom and you're honest about that, then you look at treatment. If not, just kind of check your mental health is a big part of this. Also, I keep going back to this interview I did last week with Dr. Summer Sullivan, child psychologist. What do you tell your children? What do you not tell your children about it? It's available on our COVID-19 local news podcast tab on the front page of fmtalk1065.com. Let me say this, read this text here from our friend Sarah. She says, hey, I know on the pharmacy front, people are getting pretty ugly, especially if you happen to wear your scrubs out in public. I wear my scrubs even on my days off, but they are clean and there are no germs on them other than my own. And I've been stopped twice and shouted at about how I'm personally putting everyone at risk. This has got to stop. We are only going out if it's essential, and I'm not asking anybody to come and thank me, but don't harass me when I'm having to do my grocery shopping. Another frontline person, your pharmacist out there for sure. Doing that. Take a call here, and then we'll come. Gary, we'll go to Gary first in Mobile. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Sean. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a very close relative who's in his probably 10th or 12th year of college, and he's a medical student, and he's his clinical trials in Pittsburgh, and he's actually been kind of sent home, so he's not exposed to all this stuff. But he's doing his homework, and he's talking to doctors every day or whatever. And here's something you won't hear on the news. A lot of doctors out there are taking the hydroxychloroquine Z-Pak on their own as a preventative.
Well, that's interesting. That would be when I see somebody who's in that field take it. So they're doing it as not as treating symptoms, but a preventative to what? Right. Getting the antibody or having that antibody manifest itself into the coronavirus?
I don't know, but I guess it's common practice. What they call it, they call it a prophylactic treatment. In other words, it's protection on the front end.
Wow.
Yeah. That's you're not going to hear that on CNN or NBC or whoever.
No, and I'm interested. Do me a favor, Gary. I think you've got our email or text line here. Can you talk with him and get any more information for me? I'd love to learn more about that.
I talk to him every couple of days.
Hey, Gary. What university did you say he was going to?
He's in Pittsburgh, and it's one of these
it's probably something Mellon.
It's a private medical school. I can't remember the name of it.
Because I do know, you know, the University of Pittsburgh, they're making pretty big strides, hopefully, on the eventual vaccine. I didn't even know that they came up with the polio vaccine back in the day. So
it's medicine is very prominent in that area. Yeah.
Very good thought starter. Please, yes, send us more information on that. I want to study up on that. All right, coming back to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. A quick heads up here. It's not surprising out there if you have two or three high-interest credit cards in your wallet. Got a little more time to think about that these days, don't you? Well, why not pay them off with a credit card consolidation loan from the folks at Lightstream? Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. You can quickly roll your balances from multiple credit cards into one single monthly loan payment and get a low fixed interest rate and free up money in your monthly budget. Right now, you can say goodbye to credit card bills and take even more control over your money with Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans with rates as low as just 5.95% APR. With auto pay, and there are absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Saw this email from the folks at Lightstream that's on their website. They said, we heard about this on a talk show. Oh, cool. We listened to and checked into it. It was a very easy process to apply once we decided to commit. We've been pleased with everything so far. So check them out and apply today. Get a special interest rate discount. Save even more by going to their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Sullivan, SULLIVAN. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, we'll come right back. Take more calls and text at 343-0106. Hey, thank you, Kane. 855 FM Talk 106.5. Want to go straight to the phones. Says here, checking in, Dr. Lee Irvin. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You are a physician here in Mobile?
Yes, I am, for 37 years.
Well, thank you for your service to our community. Thanks for what you're doing right now. And help educate us here on hydrochloroquine and Z-Pax and all that. What do we need to know?
Well, as regards to your question about how hydrochlorazine, or better known name brand Plaquenil, yes, there are physicians in Mobile that are taking it prophylactically because we have a lot of evidence regarding at least the safety. We're looking for more evidence as regards the efficacy of the drug.
So, I mean, basically you're saying that before you find out about the efficacy, the fact that there doesn't seem to be there's not big risk with it, why not take it? Am I oversimplifying that, or is that?
No, you're really not oversimplifying that at all. There are only a couple of conditions that would be contraindications for taking the Plaquenil, and that would be a psoriatic dermatitis or a known prolongation of what's called a QT interval on the EKG. Most of the physicians, however, those are very minor problems. We have experience with this for probably 50 years with that drug. And unlike the CNN reports or other reports that say we have to wait for long-term crossover clinical trials with sufficient numbers to prove statistical significance, we think that the evidence is strong enough and the risk is great enough with the COVID-19 that we should be taking it.
Now, that's put in language I can understand, and I appreciate that. That you go, okay, the risks are minimal, and the maybe benefits are great, so why not take it? And so y'all are doing that. Obviously, your issue for exposure is so much higher, you know, in what you do than anybody else. Would you also recommend this for people that aren't physicians, aren't nurses, aren't working in hospitals?
Yes, particularly if there are any symptoms compatible with the presence of COVID-19, and also if the tests are not available.
So this is, and what about the availability of this? Would somebody just go to their physician and ask for this, or how does that work?
Some physicians are in agreement with using it prophylactically. Some physicians wait for symptoms to use it with patients.
This is
available. It is available. Somewhat scarce, but it is available.
So they would consult their physician and just ask for it, right? And wait to see what they say.
Absolutely, particularly if they are having any symptoms that are compatible with the virus.
Dr. Irvin, we appreciate your chiming in on the show this morning. I know you got to see patients, but please don't be a stranger. Thank you for that explanation that I could understand. I appreciate it.
We are actually seeing very few patients in the office and doing things primarily with telemedicine.
Well, stay safe and keep the advice, and we will check back in with you soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.